Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. Before we get started today, I just want to give a special shout out to the Riddle Me That Productions. This is now the 20th episode of this podcast. It's just a cool feeling. You know, my mom, before this podcast started, told me, you know, a podcast only lasts, you know, like the average podcast only lasts about 12 episodes. And I got over that hump. And it feels good to now get to the point where it's just, you know, a routine, and it's just each week I'm going to give a podcast. There's no excuses. So thank you, Mom, for giving me that motivation to continue doing this podcast. I couldn't have done it without you. But here we are, episode 20. And we got the White Sox clinching. White Sox clinching a playoff spot for the first time since 2008. I believe that's when Flo Rida had his number one single, Low, if you can believe it or not, back on iTunes. I haven't even heard of the word iTunes ever since Spotify took over. But just imagine that. It's been that long since the White Sox have been good. So we have a lot to talk about there. We have NFL Week 2. Some intriguing matchups here. The Chiefs were tested this week against the Chargers, somehow find a way to win on heroic 58-yard field goal by Harrison Butker. We had a great Monday Night Football game. The Saints losing to the Raiders after being up 17-7. So stuff to talk about there. And we also, of course, have our FICT Cup Week 2 overview with updated power rankings and predictions for Week 3. So lots to talk about. Let's have me stop talking and let's dive in. So last week, the White Sox against the Minnesota Twins wrapped up their four-game set with a thrilling Game 4 comeback to take 3 out of 4 games against the Twins and clinching them a spot in the playoffs. They haven't clinched the division yet. There's still only 2 games ahead of the Twins, but you know, hopefully they can hold on this week. Despite their tough schedule, they have 4 against the Cleveland Indians, where they lost game 1 yesterday, so they have 3 more against the Indians, and then they finish out their season against the Chicago Cubs. So still lots to go in this season, but no matter what happens, division leaders or not, the Chicago White Sox will be in the postseason once again. It's been a crazy year. The MLB announcing their season returning, only having 60 games. So, you know, I always thought that that'd be good for the White Sox. I feel like that they're a team that, you know, this is like the first year that they're actually, you know, competing, and they're hot. And, you know, they're also the type of team that I feel like, you know, for like the first year of their coming out party, that a shortened season would be good because they get hot. And here they are, top of the AL. And it's like, wow, I couldn't imagine, you know, it's, especially with their young stud Michael Kopech opting out of the season. I thought they'd be in trouble pitching wise, but they've had guys step up, such as, you know, they have Lucas Giolito, they have Dallas Keuchel, but then you have guys like Dane Dunning coming out of nowhere pitching really well. You have Renato Lopez really stepping it up the last month or so, after a really rough start this season. And you also have Dylan Cease, who's living up to his expectations when they got him in that trade for Jose Quintana. He you know, last year when they brought him up, he had electric stuff, but he struggled with control. He's now figuring it out, and it's showing. You know, he's throwing electric stuff. He's throwing high heat. You know, he's not walking as many batters. Still, you know, walking batters is an issue for him, but overall has really improved that. The White Sox have just been an electric club to watch.
I mean, that order of Tim Anderson, Moncada, Abreu, Jimenez, Grandal. I mean, you can really put any of those guys in any of those spots. You know, you can flip them around. And I didn't even mention Robert because he doesn't bet until 7th or 8th. It's insane. If you have Robert betting 7th or 8th, you must have some really good guys in front of him because he would be betting 1, 2, or 3 on most teams. I think he will be in the future, but right now, I think Ricky Rich, you know, I was kind of questioning that move at first. Why is he batting so low? I don't mind him batting so low because you love to have a stud towards the end of your lineup because then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Robert gets a knock. Maybe Nick Madrigal in the 9-hole gets a knock, and all of a sudden Tim Anderson's up. So I don't mind the move. You know, they have tons of power in the beginning of their lineup, so even though Robert probably is their best player besides, I mean, I guess I can't even say that because Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu are running for MVP this season. So I take that step back, but he's, you know, going to be the future of their club at some point. But let's talk about the Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu duo there. These guys have been hitting ridiculous this year. It all started when they played the Cubs, honestly. Jose Abreu had about 4 home runs that series, and he never looked back. You know, he usually does that. He starts off cold the first few weeks. You know, he's only hit 250. Then all of a sudden, you're like, wow, he has 12 bombs and 100 RBIs. It's crazy. He really turned it up. And now, you know, it's not even just his home runs. He's getting clutch hits. You know, he's that guy up, he's that guy that you want up, you know, with guys on and two outs because he is going to come through. Or even just a guy that there with one out, he will get that sac fly. He is the key to this team. Along with Tim Anderson in the leadoff hole. Tim Anderson, again, having one of the highest batting averages in the league. You know, he's going for another batting crown, just like he did last year. And he always does it so quietly. You know, he's always kind of just, he's a star, but all of a sudden you look up, and you know, and it's not like his name is always, you know, tossed around when you're talking about the main stars of the league. You know, there's a lot of good shortstops. You have the Tatis. I don't know why that was so delayed, the Tatises in the world, and, you know, the Mike Trouts, you know, here, Tim Anderson, well, he's there, and he's there to stay for a long time. He's, you know, just making his mark in this league, you know, which is the cool thing about the White Sox. You look at all their guys, and they're so young. You know, they're just getting started with their careers, besides Jose Abreu, Grandal, but even Grandal is pretty young for, you know, his age. He still, you know, has a lot of years left in the tank. And you know what? With a good team like this, Jose Abreu probably will too because, you know, it takes the pressure off him having to be, you know, the only guy producing, which is what he was doing the last 7 years. So the White Sox have an unbelievable future ahead of them. It's so exciting to watch. Once Kopech comes back, you know, their pitching staff's going to be lights out. And their bullpen's been surprisingly good. With the exception of, you know, Colomé always being solid in the closing spot. I'm really excited for this playoffs. You know, I'm excited to get this last week of baseball out of here. I'm kind of tired of this end of this COVID regular season. I'm ready to get the playoffs started. And you know what? Yeah, I want the White Sox to do great in the playoffs. But the season they've had already, I can't be upset. You know, they're going to be good for a lot of years to come. So just an overall great vibes. Here in Chicago for baseball. And I have to give it all the credit to Josh Donaldson. As you know, in that game 4 against the White Sox, he hit a game, you know, game-time breaking home run to give the Twins the lead. And what does he do? He slides dirt across home plate on his way out, gets tossed. Bad vibes to the Twins as the White Sox scored about 3 runs after that, took the lead in the 7th inning, and they never looked back. Thank you, Josh Donaldson, for being the douche you are. We couldn't have got where we are without you. The NFL Week 2 this year had some intriguing matchups. Kind of a weird week. A lot of injuries. Okay, this has been an unprecedented week for fantasy football players. I honestly don't even know where to start. I guess we'll start over by the 49ers. They had a lot of injuries. A lot of the defense. Most notably, Joey Bosa tears his ACL out for the season. That is a rough go for the 49ers. He is the key to that defense. They still have other defensive, you know, studs, but he is the leader of that pack, so I want to see how they respond. They're going to need a lot of guys to step up. I mean, that's a huge loss. So early in the season, too. I mean,
That's the worst thing. But at the same time, that gives you time to come together as one and figure out how you're going to do it without your best defensive player. Raheem Mostert got injured on Sunday. We don't know how serious it is. He, you know, was doing great. He had about 70-yard touchdown. He was looking great, probably about 6 or 7 yards a carry for Mostert. So we're still not sure what the injury, you know, how severe it is. But he is hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo was injured during the game on Sunday. He actually looks probable to return. It wasn't as serious, but still having your, you know, your defensive player already out and your star quarterback, Super Bowl leading quarterback injured, it's, you know, a problem. So they're definitely, I mean, we're gonna get, the league's gonna have to monitor that. See, you know, was, you know what? I mean, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess, isn't the sexiest quarterback out there, but he is the quarterback of a team that, even though they did lose the Super Bowl last year to the Chiefs, made it to the Super Bowl. So he's obviously a key factor there. So very interesting vibes going on in the San Francisco locker room right now. Definitely, I mean, they play the New York Giants next week, should get the W there. But you just don't know. Once you lose a couple of key players, everything changes. So I'm intrigued to see how the 49ers respond to these injuries. I think they will respond. They have a great coach in Shanahan, great organization. So I think they're going to be okay, but that, who knows? We'll see how their team responds to the injuries. We just don't know. But condolences go out to the 49ers. I do like the organization. Very humble organization. Finally back on the map after being bad for so many years. So I hope that they're good again this year because I think it's good for the league. But time will tell how the 49ers will do during this NFL COVID season. Let's take to the Sunday night game. Or actually before that, let's go to the 3 o'clock game between the Chargers and the Chiefs. This is the most intriguing matchup of the week because all of a sudden, it's not Tyrod Taylor starting for the Chargers, it's Justin Herbert. And he was awesome. You know, he looked confident. You know, it's like, wow, okay, no wonder this guy was drafted top 10 in the NFL, you know? I mean, he was on a team last year in Oregon who was really good, you know, won a Rose Bowl against Wisconsin, but you never know how that's going to translate to the NFL. And yeah, I never thought Justin Herbert was going to be bad, but wow, right away, you know, he's making an impact. You know, he just looks like he can run a football game, you know, versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, he didn't even know he was starting until minutes before the game. So, you know, we're not sure what Tyrod Taylor's injury is. It was a chest injury. So some people were saying, oh, is it COVID? You know, they don't know. But, you know, the coach Lynn did say if he's 100% healthy, he is our starting quarterback, which at this point, why? Why is Tyrod Taylor going to be your starting quarterback? Justin Herbert looked great against the best team in the league. So, I mean, he should be your starting quarterback every week going forward, which I'm sure he will be after a couple weeks. But I don't know why he just won't be declared the starter after a great performance by him. But the Chiefs had a battle. You know, they were 8-point favorites going into the game. They were never ahead in this game. You know, the Chiefs were down early. But they did come back, you know, a couple late touchdowns, a game-tying field goal versus the Chargers to force it into overtime. I mean, the hero of this game is Harrison Butker. I mean, yeah, Mahomes led the way, but Butker, my God. Once he got to overtime and the Chargers had the ball first, I'm really surprised that they didn't go for it on fourth down because that just gave the ball over to the Chiefs and you weren't going to see the ball back. But the Chiefs, it wasn't like they did anything crazy in offense. They just got the ball downfield. Couldn't get the first down, so they had to go for a field goal. And it was a 53-yarder for Butker. Nails it, but there was a penalty offsides on the Chargers, on the Chiefs. So it was a 58-yard field goal. He hits another one, but they call a timeout. So he has to hit a second 50-yard field goal, his third 50-yard field goal try plus, and he drains it. There's no way this guy nails 350-plus-yard field goals in that stretch. Unbelievable clutch moment for Butker. This is a chance where it's like, you know, the Chiefs could have lost a game here. Chargers could have stole one. The Chargers have to be kicking their butt for not stealing this game. You know, really winnable game for them from their vantage point. But the Chiefs somehow find a way, even when playing bad football on Sunday, which just shows how good of a team they are. And, I mean, I can't wait till they play the Ravens next week on Monday Night Football. That's going to be an electric game. And I love that both teams are 2-0 going into that game. So, honestly, I was pumped the Chiefs won. You know, I don't mind the Chiefs. I think they're an awesome team to watch. I would hate to see them lose against a team like the Chargers. But at the same time, good for the Chargers. You know, with Herbert coming in, they're going to have a good future. And they put up an unbelievable fight. Can't hang your head after that game. But ultimately, the Chiefs are too good for any team in this league, besides maybe the Ravens, who they're playing next Monday. So, interesting game with Herbert coming in, but exciting future for the Chargers. The Sunday night game, Cam Newton and the Patriots taking on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. What an awesome game this was. Back and forth game the whole time. Cam Newton, really, you know, the storyline here, Cam Newton definitely still belongs in this league. He fits great in this Patriots offense. I mean, who doesn't? But, I mean, Patriots flipping the script. You know, always having Tom Brady, pocket passer. Now you have a dual-threat quarterback in Cam Newton who can sling the ball downfield to Julian Edelman or run for 8 yards a carry. He was awesome. He was really doing everything. But let's talk about Russell Wilson. I mean, that guy, game in and game out, shows why he's an MVP-worthy candidate every single year. This guy just puts up numbers. It's what he's built to do. And I mean, talk about DK Metcalf putting in work. That guy is the most jacked guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just getting 50-yard touchdowns everywhere he goes. This guy is a force to be reckoned with. The Seattle Seahawks is a force to be reckoned with. This team can do it all. They can run ball to Chris Carson, throw it to either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. This team is stacked. And, you know, their defense is still good enough where they're still a force to be reckoned with on that side of the field. And it came down to the last play of the game. The Patriots were down by 5. With a minute 30 to go, they take the ball down the field, get the ball to the 2-yard line with 3 seconds left. They call a timeout. Of course, you know that they're going to run the ball with Cam Newton. It's what they do, but Seattle was expecting it. They stop them a yard short of the goal line. I feel like on that last play, yeah, I was fine with the Patriots running the ball to Cam, but the Seahawks knew they was coming. They should have maybe done a rollout to one of the receivers or tight end, maybe, you know, a little play action, but ultimately you can't fault the play call. It was a good he was getting those runs all day, you know, with his lead blockers in front of him. Ultimately came up short. But the Patriots are going to be good this year. You know, I wasn't sure how they were going to do with Cam as their new quarterback, but obviously he's fitting in great. And the Patriots have nothing to worry about. They're going to be amongst the top of the AFC when it's all said and done. The Monday night game was a weird game because, you know, I just started watching in the second half as I was getting off work, and the, you know, the Saints were up 17-7 to start the game, and all of a sudden, the Saints can't score, and the Raiders are up 31-17. You know, 24 unanswered points for the Raiders. Really starting off slow, but then just using the run game. Josh Jacobs is a monster. And the Saints had no answer for him. What really cost the game, though, for the Saints was penalties. They had 130 yards in penalties, really giving the game away. And that interesting, but not taking anything away from the Raiders. They looked really good. Derek Carr looked awesome. And the coaching staff, Gruden and the gang, really, you know, looking confident. They were going for that field goal when they're up by 7, 53-yarder. Carlson just draining it. I love the call, aggressive play call. Wins them the game, ultimately. And you know, the Saints have a lot to work on. Yeah, they have Breeze, Kamara. Yeah, Michael Thomas is out now, but he'll be back. But you know, guys got to step up, and you know, when guys like Michael Thomas are out, you can't make, you know, dumb penalty plays the whole game. Otherwise, you're not going to win. So the Saints will figure it out. They've actually never started 2-0 since 2013, and they've been good every year. So I'm not worried about the Saints. But ultimately, the storyline here is the Raiders. You know, moving to Vegas, having some Vegas mojo, new team over there. I'm really liking the Las Vegas Raiders. I think it's good for the league that they're good. So we'll see how they do. You know, they're also a team, you know, all of a sudden could lose 3 games in a row. So I'm not going to, you know, write them into the playoffs. But great start for them. Saints are going to figure it out. I think both teams can take things away from that game. And they're both going to end up doing good things this season. It is now time for my favorite segment now. This is a segment that I'm, you know, writing out notes the night before. You know, really, you know, get tingly inside just getting able to talk about it. It's an honor, honestly. But for the Ficked Cup Week 2 overview, unfortunately, not a lot of close games this week. A lot of shit matchups. But we're still loving it. You know, each week matters, good matchups or not. And we got some intriguing teams this year that I hyped up early, but are living up to the hype. We have Bout That Action, who I said was my dark horse team of the year, really living up to the hype. He, you know, isn't putting up the most. As he said, he's not about the flash, but he's consistent. You know, he's confident this year. I'm loving the swag coming from Bout That Action. He, you know, he's a humble guy, but he's a competitive guy. And that's what we love to see. You know, one of our newer additions to the league, you know, still trying to prove his worth of the league. And this might be his calling point this year. Loving that he's starting off the way he is. Still early in the season, so I'm not trying to jinx his hype, but good vibes rolling out there in Baltimore. But let's go to the matchups this week, starting with Bout That Action. This was supposed to be the matchup of the week, Big Sam against Luke Liebert, and it just didn't live up to the hype because Mr. Sam Kuhn laying a dud of 55.28. I mean, come on, Big Sam. I move you up two spots in the power rankings. You know, you're attracting the hype, and you throw up that number. I mean, you just can't do that. He gets 6.1 out of Todd Gurley, 8.6 out of Singletary, 5 out of Adams, 3 out of Julio Jones, 4 out of A.J. Green. I don't know why A.J. Green is starting the flex over Mike Evans, who had 20 on the bench. Some questionable lineup decisions there. He also had Josh Allen on the bench for 34.48, where he had Drew Brees starting for 14.48. I'm not faulting that start there, Drew Brees, solid quarterback, but I think he has to make the move over to Josh Allen. He's proving that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, throwing 417 yards last week and 4 touchdowns. I think that'll help his team out tremendously. So as I said earlier, you know, we don't know who runs Big Sam's team. He's not in to, you know, changing his lineup a lot. I think, you know, hopefully he listens to his podcast and realizes he actually has some players on his bench he should be starting, or some of his starters. So ultimately the problem with him is his running backs, Gurley and Singletary, are not going to cut it. So he's going to have to pull out a trade here. We'll see what he does going forward. But not a good week for Big Sam. But Bout That Action, putting up a 115, you know, not the sexiest score, but also not a bad score. As he said earlier in our group chat, 115, you know, if he puts up 115 a week, he's good with that because, you know, that's going to get him wins most of the time. And I agree with that. You know, if you're putting up 115 a week, that's, you know, definitely worthy of a solid playoff championship contender right there. And, you know, and he had guys like, you know, Miles Sanders gave him 18, Lamar gave him 17, Carson gave him 18, McLaurin with the 22 spot. So if he can get, you know, McLaurin, you know, I mean, that might be one of his X factors. If he can produce weekly, Bout That Action's going to be in good shape. So solid win for Bout That Action, just doing what he came out to do. Big Sam, really disappointing performance, but ultimately Bout That Action going to 2-0. Big Sam, 1-1. Let's go to a matchup that was needed for both players here. We had the bailouts against Holman's slimy snatches. Holman putting up a measly 101 this week, with the bailouts putting up a huge victory of 144.1. Both teams were 0-1 going into this, both needing a win. The bailouts were number one on the power rankings last week, dropping to number 6. Wanted to see how they responded, and they responded, you know, putting up the second most points in the league this week behind yours truly, you know, Sukun Salone. But let's not go there yet. The bailouts, though, really, you know, showing why they're a force to reckon with in this league. Prescott going out for 40, Zeke with 20, Travis Kelce with 20, DJ Moore 16, Robbie Anderson 13, all of his guys producing this week. Didn't look good early, but he came out firing in the second half of the noon games. So it's good to see that. And Holman, I mean, now losing McCaffrey for 4 to 6 weeks, really in trouble here with Joe Burrow being his best performer at 24.5 and Darren Waller coming in with 22.3. But, you know, just can't have performances from Will Fuller, putting up 0. Landry at 6. Kansas City D -1.
He's going to be in some trouble, but he's where we all thought he'd be. Pretty much last in the league. Holman not, you know, having the number one pick in the draft, not having the best draft. You know, he'll claim he did, but, you know, he drafted Melvin Gordon super early, who had 15 on his bench. And, when you know, he had Keenan Allen 13 on his bench, CeeDee Lamb 14 on his bench. So he has some bench guys that are outdoing his starting lineup. Wouldn't it matter this week? With how the bailouts performed. But Holman, you know, he likes to get himself out of holes. I'm not counting him out yet. Even though it is good to say that Ethan Holman is 0-2. You know, he talks the most shit in the league for the last 5 years. As I said before, he talks shit but has never won anything. So, you know, it feels good that, you know, have some karma come back on him. As, you know, if you're going to talk shit, at least have some hardware. But no hardware to be found. And there he is, 0-2. So, We'll discuss where he is in the power rankings coming up. But, yeah, he's in a deep hole once again. He's going to have to recover. Bailouts, back to 1-1. Has to feel good for him. You know, don't want to be 0-2 in this league. And so the bailouts will be moving up in the power rankings. Now we have the Big Daddies for 3, Cal Coughlin against the Human Centipedes and Mike Nassar. Nassar not cracking 100. Had 99.32. Big Daddy with 126.58. So Coughlin got the win there. Really having good performances from Edelman, who we recently just traded for Matt Ryan to Big Ticket. Hopkins with a 16.8. Raheem Mostert, before he got hurt, you know, he probably would have had 30, but had 17. Mahomes doing his Mahomes thing, 27.48. Really solid week. Tucker with the 16 spot, so that's nice to see that his kicker's giving him points like that. You don't want to play Coughlin after a loss, as I said the week before. And so Nassar with a tough matchup, but Nassar wouldn't have beat really any team this week. Really rough performance from his flex. Hines giving him 0.9. Goddard with the 5 spot. Lazard with the 6. Gallup with the 6.8. These receivers, I mean, he's starting receivers with Michael Gallup and Adam, you know, Lazard. Not going to give you a lot of wins there. Oh, Russell Wilson, definitely a star performer, 33.42. You know, he's one of the best receivers or quarterbacks in the league. He's going to be great for him all year, so that's his centerpiece. And Dalvin and James Conner did combine for 35. So, you know, surprising performance out of James Conner, as he was hurt the week before. Wasn't sure how he was going to perform, but he did. So it really comes down to his wide receivers gang, and he's going to need to pull something out of his ass. He does have Kenny Galladay and Chris Godwin on his bench. But they're both dealing with injuries, you know, a concussion for Godwin, injury for Galladay. So we'll see how they respond. I do like Mark Ingram on his bench. I think he should be starting Mark Ingram. Hopefully his lineup will look a lot different. You know, he is battling injuries. I'm not going to write him off. But, you know, still needs to figure out that centerpiece in the locker room. You know, there's no voice yet. I think Russell Wilson might be that voice. So hopefully he can get the boys in line. I don't think Nassar is an 0-3 type team, but he is playing Pastuovic next week, who are both 0-2, so that's a must-win ball game for both of them. But Nassar having to turn around, is not cracking 100, is not what you want to see out of your week 2 guys. Going to the number 1 team in the league, Minneapolis Mike Caputo's, taking on Dan Vernado's Vegas Sun, 133.78. to 116.82 victory for the Minneapolis Mike Caputo's. Another solid victory, just doing Minneapolis things. Yeah, you know, Vegas actually putting up some numbers this week. I'm giving credit. You know, starting Matt Ryan, giving him 28. Nick Chubb with a 25.8 performance. Tyreek Hill with 20. You know, a lot of his big guys performing, but, you know, you have guys like Tariq Cohen in your running back slot giving you 3, and that's just not going to cut it. That's kind of the difference maker here, as Fernando had. You know, if you look at Niles' number, it goes Brady 8, Clyde 10, Josh Jacobs 12, and you're like, Allen Robinson 4, all right, this could be a dead week. But then he has Ridley give him 26, Higbee 25, Jonathan Taylor 18, Baltimore D 15, Zane with 13. So his lower guys in the lineup really performing this week. With Calvin Ridley now being statistically the number one receiver in the league, that's huge. Jonathan Taylor with a huge role in Indianapolis. So great things happening in Minneapolis, Mike Caputo's. And, you know, he's just a team that always has a deep lineup.
And always just finds those running backs. You know, he has three solid running backs in Clyde, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Taylor. Finding that key wide receiver in Ridley. He's going to be a tough out this year. Definitely competing for a championship. You know, also with OBJ, Taj Boyd, Kareem Hunt on the bench. Even Noah Font putting up numbers on his bench this week. I don't even know what that is. Insane bench for Nato. But, you know, really exciting team over there. I think, honestly, Aaron Rodgers might go in front of Tom Brady for quarterback. Tom Brady, maybe just not the fantasy quarterback this year, but good problem to have there in Minneapolis. As if Aaron Rodgers is on your bench, I think you're in pretty good shape. Big ticket. Definitely give him credit this week. You know, not a guy that puts up a ton of numbers every week, but this week he fought. You know, I could see the grit that he was putting on over in Vegas. You know, he's a guy that doesn't have the best fantasy luck. But as I said, you know, doesn't always have, you know, the guys to produce. But this year, he does have some guys. You know, I do think he's going to get some victories soon as, you know, 116.82 is a good number. I mean, that's, he had more than, I believe, yeah, about that action had, he had 114. So he would have beat that team. So definitely a good week for Pasuvik. Unfortunately, he was playing Nick Fornato, who is the number one power ranking team in the league. So tough week for Dan Fornato's Vegas Sun, but it will show, his heart will show in the power rankings this week. It will reflect my decision as he put up points. He was competing towards the end. And I do think that Vegas' Sun will be victorious in the weeks to come. But let's go to the last matchup of the week. It was my matchup with Luke Boyd, the 69ers featuring Nick and Madison. Not enough for the Sukun Saloon. I said last week that I was going to take down the commissioner, and that's just what I did. You know, my team performed this week. We had Kyler Murray giving me 32, Kamara 33, Aaron Jones 43. And right there, those two running backs. I give credit to Kyle Coughlin because Coughlin, you know, he likes to go in his drafts, running back, tight end. And that's exactly what I did this year. I drafted Kamara. I drafted Aaron Jones. I got Kittle, who didn't even play this week, but that's okay. I drafted a good defense. You know, and my quarterback. I drafted a mobile young quarterback who I thought would break out. And that's just what Kyler Murray is doing. Now, granted, I am scared every time he runs the ball because he's the type of quarterback where one wrong tackle could ruin his season. But I'm not going to think like that because you know what? He's producing. Football's a risky game. Anyone can get hurt at any play. So I'm going to live in the moment. And I'm just saying I called Arizona being good this year. And so far, they're living up to the hype. They are 2-0. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Washington football team. And they just look like they're a good team. You know, they have Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenyon Drake. You know, they have that leadership that they need. And with the second-year quarterback like Kyler Murray proving to the league what he can do, it can only go great for fantasy football for me. So I'm loving my team right now. And I, you know, I have some depth for once. And, you know, it sucks for me because I don't like to do a podcast like this and, you know, then just talk about how good my team is. But my team's producing right now. And you know what? I'm not. This is the first time in 6 years I've been able to, you know, hype up my team. And that's just what I'm doing. I'm hyping up the Saloons. You know, they deserve it right now. They're putting up numbers. I've put up the most points in the league so far. And you know what? I'm loving it. And you know what? I'm going to, you know, while I can, I'm going to prove that my team belongs to be competing for a ship once again. Most importantly, just making the playoffs. And for right now, I'm loving where my team's at. We got so much work to do, though. It's two games in the season. I've been knocking on wood like crazy because I don't want to, you know, jinx my lineup. But I'm liking where my team's at right now. 1 week at a time mentality. And this week it was the commish. And the commish just didn't have what it take this week. You know, he had a huge injury. And Saquon Bartley tearing his ACL out for the season. Not going to reflect well for Boyd in the power rankings. Watson only giving him 14. He might be kind of a dud this year. Eckler did come through this week with 16. Lockett with a solid 16. I like him. Stephon Diggs with a 25.3. Great flex play there. Mark Andrews is not producing this week. Only one reception for him. Boyd's going to be, you know, competing for that 5-6 spot in the league, but
you know, with Saquon going out, he's going to have the next man mentality up. And he does have James Robinson on the bench. He also has Leonard Fournette and Cam Newton. So he has moves to make. Boyd definitely, you know, always a team that, you know, gets shit on in the league by everybody else. But he was always consistently competing in the FIC playoffs. So not writing him off, but the commission has some work to do. With Saquon going out, that's definitely going to, you know, rise some concern for his team. But, you know, it's only 2 weeks in. He has the rest of the year to show it. So ultimately, a tough loss for the 69ers, but lots of the year left to prove that he belongs. So let's go to the power rankings. You know, this is my favorite part, just, you know, jumbling up the power rankings. I was talking to Coughlin last night, seeing if, you know, if my results matched what he would do, and they're pretty accurate. So I'm excited to reveal the week 2 power rankings for the Fichtner Cup. At number 10, we have Ethan Holman. God, it's been so long since I've wanted to say that. You know, he wants him to be put last. He knows he deserves it. Rough start to the year, especially with losing McCaffrey. That was kind of the cherry on top for me. I really haven't produced at all the first 2 weeks. And I gave him a chance. I started him off at 7. I moved him down to 8. But it's time. You know, week 3, you will be at number 10. I'm sure the league will love to hear that. You know, Holman talks the most trash, as I talked before. So being able to put him at 10 does feel good. But, you know, he likes to come from behind. So we will see how he reacts to the number 10 spot. But ultimately, good day for Nick Pastuovic, as he is now not the number 10 spot in the league. But Ethan Holman at number 10, going 0-2 to start the league so far. At number 9, we have Nick Pastuovic. It was either him at 9 or 8 between him and Nasser. So Mike Nasser is at number 8 here. But Nasser, even though he didn't put up more numbers, you know, he has guys hurt on the bench. So I'm putting that into account, as, you know, obviously his receivers were not his top receivers. So I'm not putting him at 9. But Pastuovic putting up a great, you know, putting up a solid week this week. I gave him some love. I'm taking him out at the number 10 spot, putting him up to number 9, even though he didn't win. Still 0-2, but definitely deserves to be over Ethan Holman. So Nick Pastuovic at number 9. Him and Mike Nasser, who's at number 8, both are 0-2. Huge matchup next week, as I was talking about. Somebody's going to be 0-3, where you don't want to be in this league. But someone's going to be 1-2. That's going to give him more of a chance to make the playoffs. So we will see. Very intriguing matchup next week. Might be the matchup of the week. Maybe. But so that's the 10 through 8 slots right there. At number 7, we have Big Sam. Big Sam was number 7 last week. He did not move in the power rankings. I really wanted to move him up huge or larger. You know, if he could have beat about that action, you know, he would have skyrocketed in the power rankings. But instead lays that taco dud that we were waiting for. And for that, does not move in the power rankings. You know, lucky for him, there's 3 teams that are 0-2, so I couldn't move him lower. He probably would have dropped. But Big Sam, you're granted another life. You know, you're 1-1. You know, you had 1 great week, 1 bad week. Let's see if you can even it out next week. At number 6, we have Luke Boyd, the 69ers. I believe it was number 4 last week. Gets moved down 2 spots after the bailouts winning and Big Daddy winning. Definitely with Saquon being out, definitely had to move him back a couple spots. But still in the playoffs. 6 teams make it, so you're still in the playoffs. But right on the, you know, the very last spot in the playoff power rankings. But, you know, with 3 teams being 0-2, he has, you know, some room. But every week's huge, I mean, because if he loses again, he goes 1-2. And 0-2 teams lose, we're looking at a crazy power rankings mixed match for next week. But Luke Boyd, number 6. And number 5, we have the bailouts. The bailouts moving from 1 to 6 last week in the power rankings. The biggest drop out of any team. Gets the nod 1 spot up with the 144 performance, with the second most points scored in the league. I wanted to move him to 4, but I couldn't because of the fact that Big Daddy for three is number four, with Coughlin, the two-time reigning champion, putting up 126 this week. Huge bounce back win. You don't want to play Coughlin after a loss. Tough matchup for Nassar. But I can't put the bailouts in front of Coughlin, as the Coughlin is, you know, has won the championship 2 years in a row. So I give him that nod. And, you know, he's dealing with the Michael Thomas injury. If Michael Thomas isn't hurt, Coughlin might be 2-0 right now. But so he's good. So Big Daddy for three is the number four spot in the league, just in front of the bailouts at five. And number three, we have Bout That Action. Bout That Action was number two last week. Still got a win to go 2-0, but didn't put up enough points to get that number two spot. I love Bout That Action at number three. I think that's a solid spot for him because he's right there. The 1-2-3 spot, you know, we're all 2-0, so I had to almost go by points forced, at least for me and Bout That Action. And that's where the Saloons come in. The Saloons come in at number two, putting up the most points in the league last week and then overall. The Saloons were number three last week and did overtake the number two spot for Bout That Action, with despite winning, did move down a spot. But I just did it solely off the points forced, as Bout That Action would have lost to a couple of teams such as Boyd and Pastuovic this week if they would have played. So I did take that into account. And so, yeah, the Saloons, I think, deserve the number two spot. But didn't deserve the number one spot, as the Minneapolis Mike Caputos are the number one team in the power rankings once again, putting up a solid 133 against Pastuovic, doing what he came out to do. Yes, he didn't put up the most points in the league, and the Saloons do have more, but Minneapolis has a great track record, and the Saloons do not. So Minneapolis definitely deserving of the number one seed, as he has, you know, put up consistent numbers again, and is also and is just a force to be reckoned with. Loving Nick Fornato's team, but that's where the standings lie. We have the Caputos at one, the Saloons at two, Bout That Action at three, Big Daddy for three at four. We had the Bailouts at five, the 69ers at six, Big Sam at seven, the Centipedes at eight, Pastuovic at 9, Big Ticket, and Ethan Holman at 10. Excited for week 3 matchups, which is what I'm going to go into now for next week. Week 3, you know, as Scott Hansen calls the end of his show, The Witching Hour, this is a huge week. Week 3 separates the boys from the men, in my opinion, as, you know, you don't want to go 0-3. You would love to be 3-0. You'll take 2-1. And you also, I guess, kind of take 1-2, but it does kind of separate the rankings a little more. Let's start with the Saloons. Big Daddy for three matchup. Huge matchup next week. Might be the matchup of the week. Big Daddy is hurting right now, which is why it might not be, because, you know, he's not going up with his full team if Michael Thomas doesn't play. And with Le'Veon Bell and Mostert, if they don't play, well, Le'Veon's not playing. I don't know about Mostert, but it looks like he's trending downwards. So he's going to be playing, you know, not his normal guys. He currently has Latavius Murray in there to start. So the Saloons, Big Daddy for three. Big Daddy's trying to go 2-1 as opposed to 1-2. The Saloons are trying to go 3-0. So we'll see that matchup right there. I'm predicting right now that the Saloons are going to get the victory. I'm sorry, Coughlin. I know you won't agree with that, but in the sense that I'm playing, you know, not your full team, I'm going to give myself the edge for next week's matchup. So the Saloons over Big Daddy for three. We have the 0-2 Centipedes against the 0-2 Fornato's Vegas Sun. Very intriguing matchup here. I'm going to give the edge to the McGees, especially if Godwin and Galladay are playing. But that's going to be a matchup. That might be the matchup of the week next week. No one wants to go 0-3. College game day is at the Vegas' Suns, as he's the home team, so we'll see if that can, you know, give him some spark. But I'm giving the slight edge to the Human Centipedes there, but it's going to be close. Going to be a nail-biter. Let's go to the Bailouts and Big Sam. A favorable matchup here for the Bailouts, you know, trying to get their season back on track, and Big Sam laying the dud they did last week. I'm giving the edge to the Bailouts. They're, you know, don't want to get the bailouts hot, and that's just what he did last week. Big Sam is cold. So Big Sam trying to prove that he belongs in that playoff spot, but going to be a tough week against him in the bailouts, giving the win to bailouts. Now we have a very intriguing matchup between the Minneapolis Mike Caputos and Belted Action. I'm taking back the matchup of the week. I've said it like three times already, so I guess they're all matchup of the weeks, but this is a huge matchup. Two 2-0 teams here with Belted Action trying to make that real big statement win now over the Caputos. Definitely, I'm saying this right now, I think if Belted Action can get that win over the Caputos, he's going to be the number one team in the Power Rankings next week. Even if I beat Big Daddy as the number two team, I think Belted Action, I'm saying it right now, if you beat the Caputos, you will be the number one team in the Power Rankings for week three. So, huge statement right here on the podcast. This is the matchup of the week. My final decision right here. Huge week for both of them. And now we go to kind of a gross matchup here. The 69ers featuring Ethan Holman's snatches. Holman's trying not to go 0-3. I don't know how. I'm giving the win to Luke here. I think even with Saquon being out, McCaffrey's out for Holman, so it's kind of ironic that they're both playing each other this week. Going to be a gross matchup, but I mean, just looking at Holman's Jarvis Landry and the flex, that just is gross. I love the James Robinson sub in for Luke, and then Eckler and Fournette. You know, with Fournette putting up numbers last week, he's going to be, you know, back in the mix in Tampa Bay. I'm giving the win to Luke here, but I mean, it is a gross matchup nonetheless. I do like the Cam Newton sub in for Luke, so that'll be, you know, helpful for him, I believe. But giving the edge to Luke here over the snatches for next week. I also want to talk about, before this segment's over, my predictions for last week. I think I almost went 100% because I picked the Saloons to beat the Commish. Got that. I got the bailouts over Holman's team. Check. I had Big Daddy over the Human Centipedes. Check. I had Minneapolis over Vegas. Check. And I had Bout That Action over Big Sam. So 5-5 for me last week. Try to make it another perfect slate next week. I've only gotten one matchup wrong so far. I'm 9-10 so far. So say what you want, Fick League. Real Daddy's over here predicting games. Put me on the betting Fick League show. But no, this is a great start to this year's league. It's going to come close, as it always does, to who's making the playoffs at the end of the year. As I said before, it's an honor being able to host this, you know, through my podcast. So I'm grateful for them giving me this opportunity. And I can't wait for the upcoming weeks to come. It's going to be, as I said, the witching hour in our fantasy lives, as Scott Hansen believes it's always the witching hour in his show. But it is the witching hour in the weeks to come for the Fichtner League.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang bang, what's the hey?
My Riddle's rant of the week this week goes out to all the coaches that weren't wearing masks on Sunday. I understand that, you know, that's the last thing you want to wear during a game as you're trying to coach, and it's probably hard to breathe under there as you're sweating out your games and your players' performances, but I mean, come on. We're in a world right now where it's just you have to. And the fact that we're able to play football right now is a gift. And it's, you know, they were fined $100,000 to themselves and to the organization. That's a lot of money. Yeah, they're able to pay for it. But, I mean, it's just kind of at this point silly to why just wear the freaking thing. I mean, everyone has to. You're on the sideline with lots of people. Yeah, you've tested, you know, negative for the virus, obviously, to get into play. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, dudes, like, this is a different world we live in right now. And the fact that we're allowed to play football, don't mess it up for everybody else. It just, you're giving yourselves and your teams a bad look. This is most notably Pete Carroll, Shanahan, and Vic Fangio. So a lot of the West Coast teams, I guess it's sort of a trend. But
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it wasn't like I was watching. It was like, oh, put on your mask. But it's like, come on. Like, everyone else is doing it. Just sack up, wear the freaking thing, and go home and take it off. I mean, it's your job as a coach to demonstrate what you should be doing, and I just don't see why you couldn't just put it on.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week definitely has to go to the Chicago White Sox, clinching for the first time since 2008. I know I already talked about it on an earlier segment, but I really couldn't find anything else that was more spotlight-worthy than the White Sox. They're going to be in the playoffs. I'm going to get to watch the White Sox postseason game again, and hopefully for many years to come. You know, they really deserve it. You know, I give credit to Ricky's boys. They don't quit. And, you know, Ricky Renteria, I was always skeptical of him as a manager. I still kind of am. You know, he makes some questionable pitching decisions, but overall, he's done a good job with the lineup, I feel like. And I think they're going to be a hard team to knock out in the playoffs. No one wants to play the White Sox and the Young Bombers. So we'll see where they finish this last week with their tough schedule. Because, you know, if you are the number one team in the league this year, you get to pick who you want to play in the playoffs. So it's very intriguing. I'm not sure if I want that or not. I feel like that just kind of sparks a fire in whoever you play. So we will see where the White Sox finish, but you will be seeing the Sox in the postseason again. It's very exciting. For the flick of the week this week, I'm taking it to Amazon Prime with The Boys. It was just brought to my attention last week from one of my good boys, Jake Lauderdale, on how The Boys was an unbelievable show, and he was right. I watched the first episode last night, and it was amazing. You know, it's about this, you know, this world that has these superheroes that are in charge, but behind the scenes, they're all really bad people. And of course, you know, the media allows you to not see any of that because they block everything up. So it kind of just mimics how in our world today, and world of politics or with powerful people, that a lot of things gets covered up because people with money and power can do that. So it's just kind of crazy to see it in a different light where, oh yeah, we have all these superheroes, but low-key they're drunks and, you know, murderers, and you don't even see it because the people with the power are corrupt and they're not going to allow you to see it. So this show, of course, has, you know, kind of a wimpy guy, Hugh, who has his girlfriend, who's about to, he's about to move in with this girl, gets run over by the superhero. It was kind of a crazy scene. And of course, he gets away with it. But this random guy, Billy Butcher, who I think it's Butcher. Don't quote me on his last name. I think that's right. But, you know, who's the main character, comes out of nowhere and is like, yeah, you want to take down these guys? So it's Hugh and Billy against the world trying to show the world that these superheroes, who are called, you know, in this organization called the Seven, are not who you think they are. So it's really, you know, a really well done show. You can just tell from the first episode that, you know, it's going to be awesome. There's already two seasons out, so I'm behind. But, you know, it was just made to my attention that this show was as good as it was. So definitely tune in to The Boys on if you have Amazon Prime. Awesome show. Can't wait to cruise through that the next week. For the bet of the week this week, I'm going to take it back to the MLB Diamond. I have a two-team parlay. I have the Yankees minus 275 over the Blue Jays with Gerrit Cole on the mound. And I have the Padres minus 184 against the Los Angeles Angels with Zach Davies on the mound. I did this two-team parlay because the money lines are too high to do by themselves. But I don't want to do the spreads. I'm not a spreads guy anymore. So I'm taking the two-team parlay of the Padres and Yankees. I feel like Davies and Cole are going to tear it up tonight. And I think that's just the move. So, Yankees, Padres, two-team parlay, lock it in. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's a great time to be a White Sox fan. But it's also a great time to be a Chicago baseball fan, as the Cubs are relevant once again. This could be the year for our Cubs Sox World Series with the pandemic going on. This might be the icing on the cake for what we all need as sports fans and have the Cubs Sox come together and just hate each other for one last time this season. Nothing I'd rather have. I hope you guys all have a good rest of your day, and I will see you guys next week. Riddle is out.